This is Making Stitches, and this time I'm taking you to one of my favourite crafty places, Black Sheep Wools. Last year, Sarah and the Black Sheep team posted videos throughout lockdown, creating a virtual community which helped many of us at a really tricky time.
Pre-lockdown, when it looked like we were going into lockdown but nothing was official, I'd done a newsletter and just said, if anybody's worried, etc., you can always speak to one of us, we're always here. And a lady came in to see me and she asked if she could have a coffee with me, and we were sat chatting, and she was really emotional. Mm-hmm. She was going home, she was going to self-isolate, she was poorly, she got ill health anyway. She didn't know when she was going to see anybody again, and it really got to me and I couldn't stop thinking about her. It just kept playing on me, so the next day we did another video to say, look, we are here, you need anything? And then Lucy and I put our heads together and it's like, right, what can we do? What? Let's give people something.
Hello and welcome to Making Stitches. I'm Lindsay and it's lovely to have your company today. This time on the podcast, I'm thrilled to be able to share a chat I had with Sarah Mulvey from Black Sheep Wools in Warrington. I first became aware about the Black Sheep Wools craft barn a good few years ago when I was still living in Gibraltar. On one of our trips home to visit my parents in Manchester, they took me to the craft barn saying they'd heard about it and they thought it was up my street. Well, they were right. I absolutely loved it, and it became a regular part of our family trips home. We'd always have a visit there so I could stock up on yarn to put in my suitcase and take back with me to Gibraltar. Well, fast forward to March 2020 and I found myself isolating at home in Gibraltar with COVID and a long, long way away from my parents. It wasn't the best of times, as I'm sure you can imagine, but one of the highlights for me was regularly checking in on the Black Sheep Wools Instagram page to watch Sarah's videos. Here's just a snippet of what I and countless other crafters enjoyed watching during lockdown.
Hello there. Well, it is Tuesday. It is the 17th of March 2020. Now, March 2020 is probably going to go down in history as the month that the coronavirus really, really hit the UK. We're not here to make light of it. I don't think it's a situation to make light of. We are, however, here to provide support. But support, I'm no medical expert, I can't give you medical advice, but I can give you support on crochet and knitting. It's going to be a very, very weird time, and it is already a bit of a weird time. If you're out and about there at the moment, the streets, some streets are quiet, supermarkets are crazy, we all seem to be getting ready to go into this lockdown.
So, gosh, all change again. I'm in the craft barn at the minute. It's quiet. We closed the doors last night, so we don't know when, which is quite sad, but needs must at the moment. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of an update on where we are, where Black Sheep is as a business. So not a lot of sleep last night, lots of things going around your head that you've got to try and work out. We're still here. Online is still ongoing for us. We are now only taking orders to the UK as of today. It's me again. We're outside. We're outside the Black Sheep. So I am going to take you on a little walk at the back of our store. So not only do we have the best yarn shop in the country, I believe anyway. I'm sure other yarn shop owners disagree with me and that's fine. We should all think our own's the best. But we also are in the country, sort of, very, very near the motorway network, which works for us, but we're also surrounded by beautiful countryside, and at the back of us, the most incredible fishing lakes. Now, usually, they are full of fishermen, but obviously, at the moment, they're closed, so I thought we would have a little walk around the back while we had our chat, and I can just show you what's here.
I vividly remember watching that video by the fishing lakes. I knew I'd be relocating back to Manchester, and it was so nice to get a glimpse of the Cheshire countryside, knowing I'd soon be moving nearby. Well, when I first launched Making Stitches podcast, Sarah was on my hit list of the guests I'd love to interview. It took a while to get something in the diary, but last month I got to speak to Sarah backstage in her office at Black Sheep Wools. It was strangely familiar after watching so many of her videos which have been recorded there. Here's our chat now. First of all, Sarah, thanks ever so much for speaking to me for Making Stitches.
Not
it's a real
all.
Treat.
Thank you for asking.
And it's lovely. Yeah. I'm in the office where you film so many of your videos that I've watched during COVID and everything.
I'm just thankful that you're voice recording and not videoing the state of it at the moment. It's very much new season, so you can see from everything lying around. We've got lots of new yarns in, etc.
There's some beautiful colours.
Yeah, this is really, really, really gorgeous. This is Norwegian wool by Anna and Carlos from Rowan. And it is, yeah, really woolly.
Yes, and a gorgeous sort of mustardy. Mm. Oh, that's really nice. Very autumnal.
Yeah, we'll say that I'm surrounded by lots of it at the moment, so I am thankful. It will get tidied next week, allegedly, so I keep telling everybody.
Oh, there's plenty of time for tidying later.
Yes.
Oh, well, first of all, Sarah, I've got to ask you about your creative story and how you ended up doing what you're doing now.
Well, it was funny because it's really bizarre, and this sounds really strange. I actually don't think of myself as a creative person. I know you give me that look. It's really strange. I was always very much... I did sales for a long time. I went to university, did media studies as part of my degree, ended up working in advertising agencies. On the media planning side, so I was a buyer for a while. Then I went on to the sales side for national newspapers, and I worked at the Daily Mail and the Daily Mirror and the Evening Standard in London for quite a long time. And was always very much, it sounds, but that sort of way, but I always knitted and crocheted. My mum opened the business up in 1983, so I'd be 11. And as happens with family businesses, you all work in it. So I worked every Saturday as a Saturday girl, and right the way through school, sixth form, I had to resit a couple of my A-levels. I didn't quite get into university. And when I resat my A-levels, I used to work a couple of days a week in one of the shops. So it was always something that I did, but I never thought, like I said, I just never thought of myself as creative. And I think it's probably quite common with a lot of us. You just don't see that side of yourself. It's just something that you do.
Yeah, something that's there in the background all the time.
Yeah, and I didn't really think about what I was doing and why I was doing it. And then, 11 years ago? Like I said, it was always something, even through university. I'd always go and work at a show if the show was near me, etc. And then 11 years ago, my mum was looking to retire, although it took her quite a long time to actually retire. And my brother worked in the business. Stephen's worked here for over 30 years. And they asked me if I would be interested in coming on board. And I love it. Absolutely love it. And yeah, I guess I embraced it. I sort of came in, I suppose you come in sort of quite businessy and it's like, well, this is what I've been doing here. And, you know, we need to look at figures and we need to look at this and we need to look at this. And we're obviously a business. We employ quite a few people. We need to, you know, pay decent wages too. And, we want to make sure everybody here is well looked after, so we have to make a profit. But I probably embrace the creativity of the business more now than the business side. Stephen does the facts and figures and so on. And I get to play with yarn and design things and do videos and meet people, and that's what I love.
Yeah.
The shop is massively important to me. It's a really special place. I just love it. But like I said, it was always one of the people who says, are you crazy? But I would say no. And I think as well, the other is I'm always surrounded by really creative people. Yeah. So, you know, we've had Winnet Mum in here this morning who designs the most incredible socks and so on. And I've got one of the ladies that works here used to be a full-time knitting designer. So you suppose are you always sort of...
You measure yourself up against these hugely talented people.
Yeah. And they are, you know, they are incredible at what they do and it's what they've trained to do. I'm quite good at putting colours together. I'd say that's possibly where it ends, to be honest. And I can do you a simple crochet blanket, but I wouldn't know. I mean, I look at people like Jane Crowfoot and so on, and I wouldn't know where to start.
No. Her work's utterly mind-boggling.
Beautiful. And Tatiana and lots of the other people that we work with, just how they get those ideas, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I love making things. I can't... And that's something that's always been constant for me throughout, and I can't imagine a day where you don't sit down for a couple of hours and knit or crochet. I'm guessing you're similar.
Well, yes, when time allows,
yes,
definitely.
Yeah.
And I think it certainly helps my mental health. I mean, I've said this on the podcast before, you know, there are times when I'm getting ratty with the kids and my eldest will say, have you not made anything, Mum? And it's like, oh no, that's what's wrong. Because, you know, a couple of days have gone past and you've just been ragged.
Yeah.
And that's what the problem is. It's just you need half an hour left alone.
Just to yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just doing something repetitive, and that kind of reprograms your brain, doesn't it? It
heals everything. I was talking earlier to Lucy, who I work with, and we were away at a family wedding last week, and we were in Ireland for 4 days. And it was pretty full on, as I've realised Irish weddings are. You know, we went out the night before the wedding, the night of the wedding, and the night after the wedding. And we came back, and I got home at 3 o'clock on Saturday and watched 2 episodes of Strictly back to back. I didn't speak. I watched it and I just knitted something really simple, and because I'd not picked up my needles for 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, it soothes you a lot.
Definitely. It kind of grounds you. And then also I find that when you're actually doing it, might have been problems or issues that you've been mulling over all the time and you just can't find the solution.
Yeah.
But when you kind of detach yourself a bit, that's when all of a sudden you'll figure out, oh, well, maybe if I did something this way. But your hands are busy, and I think that frees up part of your brain to actually focus on, you know, issues that are going on.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So like I said, I never would describe myself as a creative person, but maybe that's because I'm surrounded by millions of amazing creative people.
So when did you first start knitting then? Was it... You were very young.
Yeah, I don't really remember not being able to knit. I'm guessing I was about 4 or 5.
Gosh.
My dad still has the very first thing I ever properly knitted, which was a grey garter stitch scarf. I remember my dad had a business overcoat that was dark grey, and I made him a scarf, and I guess I'd be about 6 or 7.
Uh-huh.
And he fascinated me a few years ago. We did a thing on Facebook about knitted treasures, and my dad came into the office, and I said to him, we're doing this. He said, I've got just the thing. And he brought it back in and he keeps it still in his drawer. So that was probably the first thing I made. And then crochet, I taught myself to crochet probably about 8 or 9 years ago with a book on holiday.
Gosh.
My husband was watching the European Championships and I needed something to do when the kids had gone to bed. So I taught, it was a really old book. It was a Peyton's Woolcraft book.
Wow.
And I've still got it, and it literally was pictures each bit.
Yeah.
And I crocheted a chain that you could probably wrap around this room twice, just trying to get the rhythm, because it's quite difficult when you've been a knitter, I think, to pick that up.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So how did you find doing it from pictures? Because my gran taught me basic crochet when I was very little. But it was much later in life, in my 30s, that I went back to crochet. But I found it really hard trying to reteach myself through pictures. I found I had to watch YouTube videos to try and get the rhythm going.
I prefer to learn from pictures.
Ah.
Yeah, if I'm going to follow up, I don't often watch how-to videos, because I think I'm obviously not very quick. I'm forever having to stop and rewind them.
Well, there is
and
that,
go
yeah.
back to where they are. Whereas pictures, I find it quite... Maybe it's my age. So I just find it quite easy to look at, as long as they're good pictures and it's stages, etc.
Yeah.
But I find that easier to follow than a video.
Mm. Now, you mentioned that you've designed crochet blankets and you've done a number of cowls and knit-alongs. And obviously, you've got a huge community of Black Sheep Wool fans out there.
Yeah.
How important would you say the community is to you?
Massive. Massive. Yeah, you can't. It's been start to well up when I talk about this. Isn't that stupid? Lockdown was. We've always had quite a big community. My mum did videos. I mean, I wasn't the first Black Sheep to do videos. My mum's got one that I think's been watched about 1.4 million times.
Blimey.
Yeah, knitting a can-can scarf. So you know, I wasn't the first one to do it, but we've always done these videos. They've had a good reaction. If you watch them, they're not very. But they're not very polished. They're very much me talking about, you know, what I'm doing, etc., and the yarns that we've got. And pre-lockdown, when it looked like we were going into lockdown, but nothing was official, a lady came in. I'd done a newsletter and just said, if anybody's worried, etc., you can always speak to one of us. We're always here. And a lady came in to see me, and she asked if she could have a coffee with me, and we were sat chatting, and she was really emotional.
Mm-hmm.
She was going home. She was going to self-isolate. She was poorly. She got ill health anyway. She didn't know when she was going to see anybody again, and it really got to me, and I couldn't stop thinking about her. And I was really lucky. I was going home to, you know, Matt, 2 kids, 2 dogs, thank goodness, a business that could continue to trade online and a business that was selling something you wanted. So I sort of, it just kept playing on me. So the next day we did another video to say, look, we are here. You need anything? And then Lucy and I put our heads together. It's like, well, what can we do? What? Let's give people something. So we spoke to a couple of designers that we'd worked with previously. So we spoke to Sandra, who does Cherry Hearts, who designed our Spice of Life, and said, look, we'd like to do it again with maybe different colours, brighter colours. We'd like to run that as a make-along. We spoke to Lynn Rowe, who designed a chevron blanket for us, said, we'd like to do this as a free pattern with a different kit. Are you okay? And they both said, yeah, that's great. So we sort of started off with our first... wasn't we've done crochet alongs and so on and forth, but this was our first sort of proper make-along. And yeah, it just hit really well. We'd already got a Facebook make-along group that we'd set up probably 18 months previously where people could talk about what they'd made. But doing these make-alongs really seemed to ignite. Because of the time everybody was at home, we also very, rightly or wrongly as a business person, I'm sure a proper business person would sit down and say, why'd you do that? We always make sure our make-alongs are free to join in. So if you want to buy, we do kits, I'm a business, we do kits and so on, and that's great. But if you don't want to buy a kit, it doesn't matter. You've got your stash, particularly going into lockdown when it was uncertain for so many people. And we wanted to make it accessible for everybody. So I don't really care if you've, you know, you've got some wool that's been in your stash for 15 years that you got from Pound Stretch. It really doesn't matter. It was about the joining in and the sharing things. And it, the make-along almost took on a life of its own. And we, again, but just so throughout lockdown, we spoke to, I did lots of videos showing them what I was making. And it all became a bit of a thing. People wanted to join in with whatever we were making, and it was all a bit unexpected, but I think sometimes the best things are. Mm. We now have nearly 13,000 people in our make-along group, which is bonkers, absolutely bonkers. And they can only post about Black Sheep Wools and things from Black Sheep Wools. They can share other things, but... you know, you can't really put a yarn down that we don't stock for obvious reasons. But the big thing that's come out of the make-along group is the support that's in there for everybody.
Yeah.
It's a really lovely place. We, touch wood, haven't had any issues with... you know, Facebook groups are notorious for people maybe commenting without thinking about what they're commenting about, etc. We don't really get that.
Wonderful.
It's got a lovely feel. And since those first two make-alongs we've done... cowls, shawls, we always do a Christmas make-along, we always do a Betwixtmas, which we've done, I think, I'm looking around at the shawls, I think, possibly 3 times I think we've done a Betwixtmas, I think this will be our 4th. Again, the pattern's free, you can buy a kit, we can make it in whatever you want. The Betwixtmas is quite a big one for us, we do that in between Christmas and New Year. But yeah, the community spirit we've got is immense. Today in the tea shop I've just gone in and... it's what is bizarre for me, and the team here think is really funny, is that people recognise me and recognise my voice, and I get loads of comments, which they just think is absolutely hysterical. A lady did once suggest to somebody behind the counter that maybe they put my videos on a loop. And somebody told me, I'm like, that's a great, so we could have it in the kitchen when we're having our lunch. And they're all, look, I'm going to, say, I'm joking. Yeah, and we do like to suggest that maybe we put cardboard pop-ups of me everywhere and so on. But I do promise them I am only joking with that. They look at me and go, yeah, right. So, and if, no one's allowed to say that they recognise my voice or anything in front of any other members of the team because they just think it's so funny. And the kids think it's really funny as well.
I bet they do. Yeah. That their mum's a social media superstar.
Got a hashtag. I mean, I didn't know what a hashtag was about 18 months ago. But yeah, they said the community feel is massively important. And I would hope that's the difference between us. And, you know, we do a lot of business online, but the shop's very much who we are and about those customers. And we're not... I don't know, we're just not a... but we don't want to be a big faceless online company. That's not who we are.
No, no, you're very much a family business and family orientated. Yeah. And yeah, well, I can honestly say I was in lockdown a long, long way away from here in Gibraltar, and I regularly tuned into your videos, and it got me through some very tricky times. And it was just lovely to see that life somewhere was still going on in a semi-normal way.
Yeah.
And it was just lovely. It was an amazing community service you did doing that.
Do you know what? I think, don't be nice to me. I'm no good at things like this. I don't know what sort of mood to stand. I'm really emotional. That actually kept us going as well.
Mm.
You know, we were... the team here were phenomenal through the whole of lockdown. And, you know, we had people that generally work in the shop, which in January is quite a warm, nice place to be, all of a sudden upstairs in hats and mitts and picking orders. And the team were amazing. And being able to do something like the videos gave us all something, because in a stupid way, everybody almost got involved. Even the warehouse lads are saying, well, why don't you put this on your video? And, oh, we've got, so, you know, what about talking? Listen, have you seen this pattern? And it became a big thing for all of us. And it gave us a purpose. It was like, right, what, and everybody was like, what's going on the video today? It was like, right, we're going to talk about this, we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. And everybody from the warehouse manager to the students that we took on, and then the people that normally, everybody really, really worked on that, and it gave us all the focus. So it was incredible for all of us, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, that's good to hear, because the benefits on from the outside were wonderful.
Well, that's really what we wanted to do. Like I said, there are a lot of people who knit and crochet that maybe aren't as mobile as your average person, for want of a better term, or, you know, we'll spend more time at home, we're in lockdown for longer, we're shielding, etc. The age of a crafter tends to be that little bit older than the average again. So, you know, it was just about giving everybody that friendly face, and surprised nobody, because the first sort of month or two, they were just, I've not really been doing very much, but I've had this for my tea, but people seem to quite like it.
Definitely. It was nice to see other people going through the same thing as everybody else was, with the monotony of it all. And
it's tough for all of us, wasn't it? Really
without
was.
Without a doubt, yes.
We actually went out last night and celebrated with the whole team the sort of end of it all, fingers crossed. All the way through, we'd been saying to everybody, we're going to go out, we're going to go to a pub, we're going to go for really nice food, and we're just going to... And that was last night, so that was really nice. I think, yeah, we've made it.
Absolutely, and out the other side. And it's so nice to be in the shop today and see people,
yeah,
you know.
Well, the first day the shop reopened in July this time, and two of our regulars were at the door, Edna and Jean, if you listen to this. And Edna and Jean are legends in the shop, we love them. And they came in, I cried, they cried. And it was like, oh, we're here. I'm doing it now. I do it all the time. But it's like, oh, God, they're here again. This is a... And it's been phenomenal to see people come in. And I think a lot of what's been nice is a lot of people have come through the door and said, this is the only place I've been, or this is the first place I've been. And that means a lot as well, because it means we've created a safe environment where they feel they can come.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's somewhere that people need it for their mental health to come and get...
Gosh, yeah.
To see other people who do something that they love, you've got something in common with, you know, because we, crochet and knitting and crafts generally are a very solitary activity, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely.
But to be able to see other people who are on the same wavelength as you, it's so important.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So looking ahead to the future, you've mentioned you've got a Betwixtmas coming up.
We have, yes. We've got a Betwixtmas. Yeah, we've got a Betwixtmas. We've got another Betwixtmas. It'll be fabulous. It's been designed by Lynn Rowe, who's a big favourite of ours here. So that will launch beginning of December. I think it's usually the first Tuesday in December. But it's a bit scary because that'll get here in no time.
I know.
Yeah, and that is always something that, again, it's a free pattern. You can make it in whatever. It's generally a shawl. And we do often get, why is it always a shawl? It's like, well, the idea is with Betwixtmas, it's a present to you. We tend to do it in something a little bit more luxurious than we'd knit in every day. And it's relatively easy, but might have a little bit of a new technique. And you cast it on. I cast on Christmas Eve, and it's my relaxing Christmas project that I can still do if I've eaten too much sherry trifle or had a glass of wine or whatever. So, yeah, that will happen, say, in between Christmas and New Year. Sarah Hatton is designing our Day Out 2 knit along.
Oh, wonderful. Because that blanket was lovely.
Again, you know, I get very emotional about things. Sarah's blanket turned up and it was through lockdown, and I cried when I saw it because it was like, oh my God, it's a proper blanket designed by a mega designer and she's done it for us. Mm-hmm. But Sarah's a massive supporter of local yarn shops. And it was really important for her to do it for a yarn shop. And I would say that's, you know, that's who we are. It's very much still a local yarn shop. So, yeah, and then with the knit along, we also then turned it into this thing of where I did local history about different roads.
The different
and all
villages
that.
And, yeah, it's fascinating.
I became obsessed. I really did. I've lived in or around here all of my life. I've spent 5 years in London and away at uni, but I've always been in these villages. I found out things I didn't have a clue about. I live in Croft, which is a really small village. There are 800 houses, I think, maximum. In fact, I don't, No, I think there's... Somebody once told me there was more horses than houses in Croft.
Blimey.
And there could be. And I found out that in the 1800s, there was 252 silk weavers in that village. And I never knew. See?
Goodness me.
I never think of being around here to do with silk.
No. No, you'd think Macclesfield.
Exactly, yeah. And it's not like we're on a canal, you know, we don't have easy access to Macclesfield or anything. But all these bizarre... The vicar of my local church, there is a math... He was a vicar there for 50 years. There's a maths prize named after him. Which, again, and all these different bits and pieces. But I think that the idea, again, was to bring you on a day out to the craft barn when you can't leave the house.
Mm.
And so Knit Along 2's coming. What else? Oh, there'll be all sorts of stuff going on. We're just starting to plan sort of days, etc., in the shop next year, which we haven't done any yet. We've got a Rowan weekend coming up in November, but that will be the only event we've done this year.
Mm.
We're trying to balance between encouraging people to come to the shop, but to do it safely where we're not encouraging too many people to come to the shop, which as a retailer is quite a strange thing.
It must be, yes. Kind of goes against the grain a bit, I imagine.
Yeah, just a bit. But you want to also keep the team here safe and the customers safe as well.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. It's a difficult path to tread, I guess, because you've got to look at the long-term consequences
of
these
indeed,
kind of things.
Yes, indeed, yeah. Yeah, and then obviously lots of knitting. So we've got a little thing next week. There's some patterns on the desk in front of you, which is I'm trying to decide what to make next. And next week, I'm going to actually put it as a vote on the Facebook group, and I'm going to make whichever one of them they vote for.
Do you know, that's really wise, because I can imagine spending all your time in here with all this amazing yarn and just an endless array of patterns to choose from.
And an endless array of whips.
Yeah.
Honestly, I do get out of control. Mm. We will do in January, I think, saying what's in the future, we always do a sort of finishing off month, so January will be our... sort of dig out some old bits and get some finished off. So I need to do that so I can start doing other stuff.
You've got to clear your conscience a bit first, haven't you, before you get stuck into something else.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear it's not just me then.
Oh, honestly, I think we're all terror. I got startitis.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a great article from Yarn Harlot, if you've ever read her stuff. She says, starting a new project's like starting a new exercise book at school. And you start out and it's the right yarn and the right pattern and your needles and it's all lovely and you cast on and you're all feeling all best handwriting type of thing. And then you make a mistake and it's like, oh, right, where's the next one? Yeah. And I'm a little bit like that.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Yeah,
it goes in the naughty corner for
it
a while.
Does, yes, and that while can be quite a long while as well.
Yeah. My old, I think I finished off a cardigan that had taken me about 17 years. And I finished off for my daughter. I'd started it for my niece.
Oh, wow. Well, I did start a cardigan for my firstborn. And his second brother came 7 years later. And I thought, I found it. And it's like, oh, maybe I should try and finish this. It's still not finished. So I'm waiting for some nieces or nephews, I think.
Yeah, to come along. Yeah.
Hopefully not grandchildren.
I was going to say, you could leave it a long time and get grandchildren as well.
Oh, dear me. Oh. It's been lovely to have a chat with
you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure.
Thanks again, Sarah, for finding the time to speak to me. I really enjoyed chatting to her. It was well worth the wait. Now, if you'd like to find out more about Black Sheep Wools, you can find a link to them in the show notes for this episode. And by the way, this isn't a paid advertisement for the shop. I just love it. Speaking of shops, have you visited the Making Stitches online shop yet? Thank you to everyone who has and has bought a bag or a crochet pattern so far. The money raised through it will be ploughed back into the podcast so I can carry on producing episodes for you to enjoy. You can find a link to the Making Stitches shop in the show notes too. Now, I've got a favour to ask. If you were listening to the podcast last Christmas, you may remember the festive episode featuring listener stitch stories. Well, would you like to share your story of crafting in this year's Christmas special? If so, please do get in touch with me via social media or by email to makingstitchespodcast@gmail.com. That's all for this instalment of Making Stitches. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to Making Stitches on your favourite podcast app. You could even leave me a review, which would be absolutely wonderful. Or if you know someone who you think would enjoy listening, please tell them about the podcast. Thanks again for listening. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time with another inspiring maker story for you. Until then, keep safe and enjoy your crafting.